Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution is made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. And when you sign up for our free InvestTalk Insider program, you have instant access to a whole library of webinars, Breaking the Risk Barrier, Measuring and Managing Investment Risk, Doing Dividends Right, a 30-minute crash course in dividend investing. These and many more are yours free when you're an InvestTalk Insider, and anybody can join. Do it now on investtalk.com. And now, today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to our Monday, December 28th, 2015 edition of InvestTalk. And I hope everyone out there had a great holiday weekend, a great Christmas, and probably enjoyed a little bit of time off and family time. But it's always good to get back to the basics and get back to improving your knowledge and your discipline. And that's why we are here for anyone, beginner or experienced investor, interested in improving their investment and money management skills. And this is the time of year to review your holdings and rebalance with an eye towards maybe tax loss selling where appropriate. Now, for IRAs and other tax-exempt accounts, taxes aren't an issue. But for all other types of accounts, determining your realized taxable gains and losses you incurred in 2015 are pretty important. Now, you can use this last week of the year and determine if you have any unrealized taxable losses that can offset any gains and then realize them by selling that position. Now, remember to consider long-term versus short-term gains and losses is also important. Long-term is any gain or loss over 12 months. So if you have it over a year, that makes it a long-term gain or loss. Now, also remember the wash rule, and you can't sell and buy back that same stock within 30 days and still realize that loss. In other words, if you have an unrealized loss in holding, say you're down 20% in a name, and you want to sell it to take that loss before the end of the year, you must wait 30 days to buy it back. Otherwise, you can't take the loss on your taxes. Okay, so, and that's 30 days before and 30 days after. So if you've spotted in the last 30 days, that also counts as well. All right, so understand that little nuance is very pretty important. And the biggest drag on investment performance is taxes. And for taxable investors, those funds outside a retirement plan, like an IRA, careful year-end tax planning will allow you to keep more of your investment returns and pay less to the government. And nobody likes paying money to the government. All right. Now, we have all the year-end tax issues, but there are many other complex topics to talk about as well as we approach the end of the year. And one would be for anyone who's turning 70 and a half. They need to form a strategy for taking their RMD, required minimum distribution, from their IRA or their 401k plans. Another before the year end thing that you might be thinking about is making charitable donations. If you're going to do that, you need to do that now before the end of the year. Or maybe you can donate appreciated assets like stocks. So if you have a big capital gain, you can, instead of just paying cash, you can donate a position and not pay that capital gain. That's always good to check on the accountant if you are unsure about these steps and how to mitigate taxes. And you know, I have great accountants that I work with. And if you need more information, you can always give me a call. Go to investtalk.com, click on Contact Justin button, and I will help you. Now, we'll have more information for you coming up on Invest Talk Personal. Now, do you have a question about year-end planning? Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number, and I hope you feel that you're part of this discussion.
Hi, I'm Sean from Seattle, Washington. I listen to you guys on podcasts. I currently am receiving a defined pension plan right now. My company does also offer a 401k plan. I'm just trying to figure out if I should invest in the 401k plan that does not have a match, or if maybe a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA would be a little better as far as the tax repercussions, as well as the flexibility of having a lot of different options to choose from. Thank you, and thanks again.
Well, the tax repercussions are pretty similar between a regular IRA and a regular 401k. It's all tax deferred and tax deductible. You can obviously put a lot more into a 401k. So if you do plan to put, you know, over the, I believe it's $6,500 this year in an IRA, then, you know, you might want to go with the 401k beyond that max, right? But if you are, the only difference tax wise is actually when you, if you want to take the money out eventually, you can do that in a 401k at 55, whereas an IRA it's 59.5. So there's a little, you know, 4.5 year window that changes where if you take money out, say you're 57, you can take it out of a 401k tax, or not tax free, but penalty free, but not in an IRA. Okay. So that's that little difference in the tax consequences and I guess access to your funds. But when it comes to investment flexibility, it's almost always better to put your money into an IRA first. Max out the IRA and then go with the 401k if your 401k isn't giving you a match. So that would be my strategy for you. Max out the IRA and anything on top of that, then you put in the 401k. Now, most investors lag the results of the overall market because they make one or more of these avoidable mistakes. And we're going to talk about investing behaviors to avoid coming up on today's show. So that's one of our talking points. I also want to discuss, are we in the later parts of the bull market? I would argue yes, and I'm going to say why. I'm going to explain to you why. And one of them is something, if you read Bloomberg today, there's a really good article, and really not a lot worked this year. Cash was, so far, I mean, we do have three more trading days in the year, but so far this year, cash has been king. Cash has been the best performing asset class. Certainly within the asset classes, there are winners and there are losers, and you know, if you got lucky, you have to pick the winners, great. But if you're talking about broad asset classes, not much has worked. Cash has been king. So we're going to talk about that and, you know, the market being in late cycle behavior. I also want to touch on 7 business predictions for 2016. What's 2016 going to look like in business? And I have some takes on that. And then finally, since we are entering an election year in 2016, I want to talk a little bit about one of my biggest pet peeves, and that's talking about the president. Whoever the president is, I'm not talking about President Obama, I'm talking about presidents in general. And so many people believe that the president has significant control of the economy. And I'm going to argue, and there are reports and studies that will back this up, that presidents have very little to almost no control of the economy. You heard that right. Very little or no control of what the economy does over their term. Okay? So we're going to talk about that, all those things coming up. But first, let's take a quick review of the market today. It was a modest down day, you know, nothing too exciting. You usually don't get too many big moves here in the last week of the year between Christmas and New Year's. But you had the S&P down 4.5 points, the Dow down 24 points, call it, and the Nasdaq down about 7.5 points. Very, very modest down day. It was down bigger early in the day, and you kind of had a slow, boring rise throughout the day that left the market really kind of nowhere slightly down for the day. You know, economic news, there wasn't anything too exciting to really write home about, to be honest. You know, you're getting to the end of the year, so economic calendar's light, and nobody pays too much attention to it anyway. You had the Philly Fed, U.S. leading economic index was positive. You had Dallas Manufacturing Fed Index. That was negative. Actually, that was pretty bad. That was negative 20.1, and that's the worst reading since May of this year. So certainly not positive news coming out of the Dallas Fed, but thought that's because of oil prices, right? Because Texas is an oil-dependent economy. So those are really the two economic reports that came out, and really the market's probably not going to do a whole lot between now and the end of the year. Now, with the new year coming, it's time to take stock of your investments. How long has it been since you've rebalanced your retirement portfolio? Now, one of the services we provide to a limited number of our listeners is a free retirement review. Steve's next date is January 13th in San Ramon. Because the schedule's limited, these are first come, first serve appointments. So to save your time on January 13th, just go to investtalk.com. And if you are out of the area, don't worry. You can still send us a message, click on contact Steve, contact Justin. Say you want to set up a call or maybe even a Skype call. Whatever it is, we can get in touch with you and help you out. So go to investtalk.com.
Hi, my name is Matt. I'm calling from New York. I'm a podcast listener. I love the show. I was calling to see what you thought of the company HES, Hess Corporation. I'll take my answer on the podcast. Thanks.
All right, he's looking at Hess Corporation. This is an oil service company. Or exploration company, sorry. They're engaged in exploration, production, transportation, and marketing of oil and gas worldwide. They're losing a lot of money now. They're going to lose $3.68 this year, $3.72 next year, so it doesn't seem to be getting better. And this is after years and years of doing pretty well. Yields about 2%, but as they're losing money, how much are they going to be able to pay that dividend? How well are they going to be able to pay that dividend? And what I go to is cash flow. And their cash flow is now pretty negative. You're talking about negative $2.5 billion, and that's on a company that's worth $14 billion. That's their market cap. They don't have a ton of debt. So that is their saving grace at the moment. They're not profitable. They're burning cash, but they seem to have enough assets to weather the storm in the near term. But oil has to recover. Oil's got to get back above $60 a barrel, I think, for Hess to start being profitable again. And management owns about 12%. That's good, but revenues and it's just not doing well. And that's understandable. Oil prices are low. So what you're doing, this is a contrarian bet. Now, is this the best oil contrarian bet out there? Probably not. Is it a good one? Yes, and the only reason I say that is because it doesn't have a lot of debt. And the companies that are probably going to go bankrupt are the ones that have a ton of debt and are also losing money like Hess. So I think Hess can weather the storm in the near term. So this is a very high-risk play. It's a company that historically has had very good profitability if you have oil prices in a relatively normal state, above $60, $70 a barrel. So if you do think oil will turn around, yes, this is a good play. But you understand this is very high risk, and if oil stays down here around the $30 a barrel mark, $40 a barrel mark, Hess is going to continue to have a tough time, and eventually, if it stays here long enough, they will go bankrupt. So understand this is very, very high risk. Now, I'm financial advisor and registered investment advisor Justin Kleins. Now, Steve and I are very appreciative that you have been a regular listener this year, and the InvestTalk production crew and all the staff at KPP Financial want to wish you a happy and prosperous new year. All the best for you and your family in 2016. Let's go to James in New York. How you doing, James?
good. How are you tonight? Happy holidays.
Thank you. Thank you. You too. What can I do for you?
I wanted to talk about RIG, the RIG, Transocean.
Uh-huh.
Just something, you know, end of the year, I'm thinking about maybe cutting some of the, you know, the fat from portfolio, but mm-hmm. I invested in this over a year ago, I'd say, at $19.99, probably like $20 a share. You know, probably lost 40 or more percent of the position.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where this is going. I don't know if that's something that could bounce back. I don't mind holding it if it'll ever go back up to 30 or wherever it's capable of going if I do hold it. But otherwise, you know, I don't know if it's to my benefit cutting it loose at this time.
Well, you know, from a contrarian point of view, it is pretty cheap. They've certainly cut their capital expenditures enough to where they can handle these low oil prices for a little bit of time. I don't think they're in huge trouble in the near term, and so this is a lot like Hess, where they don't have a ton of debt. They're actually creating positive cash flow right now, so that's still good. One reason why they continue to pay that dividend. So it continues to be high risk. If oil stays around this $30, $40, maybe even $50 a barrel mark, the Transocean's not going to be that profitable or profitable at all. And that's because they're a deep water driller, offshore contract driller. So in those type of scenarios, those type of wells are expensive. They're more expensive than shale in many cases to drill. So oil is going to have a significant rebound for Transocean to also continue to rebound and stay in business. Will it get back to 30? I would say yeah, over the next few years. I think it will. Am I bullish on it long term? No, because the offshore oil drilling used to be kind of the at least the swing supply here in the United States. Now it's shale oil, and now that's the alternative. And a lot of times that's cheaper than offshore drilling. So that's why I'm not a huge fan of Transocean long term. Do I think oil prices are going to rebound in the near term and in the next 18 months, 2 years? Yes, I do, and RIG will benefit from that. But it's one of those things where I don't like it long term because I don't think we're going back to $100 a barrel oil anytime soon. Does that make sense?
Sounds good. So maybe I should just hang on to it then for a little while. Then that's no,
yeah. Well, I mean, if you have tax loss selling, you can offset those losses with gains that you've already taken. You know, then maybe you cut some of it and then buy it back, or buy what you could do is you buy a different offshore driller. Right.
Right.
And so you avoid the wash rule. I would certainly think about that. I don't know if that's held in a taxable account or not, but that's something to think about.
No, yes, it is a taxable. Yes.
Yeah, so look at that and see if you can offset some gains. If not, then, you know, I probably would hold it.
Okay, right. Sounds good.
Thanks, James. Thanks for calling. No problem. Now let's talk a little bit about investing behaviors to avoid. And you know, this is along the lines of things that I talk about regularly on the show. And the first one is overconfidence. It's easy, and this happened in the 90s a lot, it's easy during the good times to feel that you know what you're doing and you can do this. You know, you pick a stock, it goes up a lot. You know, it's a trendy stock. Or maybe a group of stocks. Or you just do well for the year. 1 year, you do much better than the overall market. And you say, oh, I can do this. This is easy. Well, over time, it's about proper strategy and proper application of knowledge that you gather. And that will create superior returns over time. And that's one of the reasons why we do this show, is to help people develop those skills. So the number one thing that people do, though, is they get overconfident. They think short-term returns or short-term success allows them to be, or makes them feel superior or confident in their abilities, and they're usually humbled because they usually get lazy, or maybe those they were just lucky, and especially if you didn't put in a lot of work, you're probably just lucky. So overconfidence is number one. Number two, constant surveillance. So many people look at their account every day or every week. You know, the real goal is to have a strategy, and maybe it needs to be monitored every week, but don't be a prisoner to short-term fluctuations, okay? And then number three is trend following. Most people buy stocks or market sectors that have done well recently and avoiding the ones that have done poorly. Others invest in managers that have done well recently and shun the ones that haven't done so hot. But maybe this the other manager's strategy didn't work in that market. But over the long term, it does work. So just because something was worked in over a year time, 2-3 years time, doesn't make it the holy grail, the greatest thing in the world. It just means it worked over that time. You need to assess things over a longer period between bull and bear markets. Give us a call, 888-99-CHART.
Coming up on the next Invest Talk, responsible investing is becoming more appealing to investors because it makes good business sense, making sense of sustainable investing. That's one of our talking points on the next Invest Talk. But your questions come first, so please join us for our talking points and bring yours. And thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. This is Invest Talk for Monday, December 28th. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us right now. You can always see Steve's latest check updates on investtalk.com. The next one coming up January 13th in San Ramon. Or if you're out of range of our California offices, you can hook up with Steve on Skype or by telephone. Click on Schedule an Appointment on investtalk.com.
Let's go to Mike in Mountain View. How are you doing, Mike? Or Mark, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm
Mark,
fine.
How's it going, Mark?
Okay. I'm fine. Thank you very much. Good evening. Yeah, I'd like to know if there's an ETF that is similar to the SQQQ, but it's for the Dow, and the inverse of that, if there is such a thing, are there ETFs for those that are like three times the magnitude of the Dow?
Yeah, there's SDOW.
Oh, SDOW, okay. Mm-hmm. And then what's the inverse of that one?
That one's three times.
Oh, yeah. Is there an inverse of that one also? Inverse.
That is the inverse.
Oh, I mean the inverse of SDOW, I'm sorry. The positive side, I guess.
Oh, on the positive side? Yes. I know there is. I don't know it off the top of my head. I know there's. You can Google just like list of leveraged ETFs, and that's going to give you pretty much everything out there.
Okay, thank you very much.
No problem. Be careful. Be careful about those leveraged ETFs, though. Just an FYI. Be very careful. Now we are about to enter 2016. And I want to talk about seven predictions that I pretty much agree with. This is actually from an article from Inc. magazine and one of my favorite websites, Inc.com. And the author has seven predictions for business, mainly technology, with a technology bent, in 2016, and I want to go over those. First is valuations will tighten as the unicorn market undergoes a great correction. Now, we've already seen it. You've seen the investments from mutual funds writing down the values of their investments in Snapchat, for example. And this is only going to continue, especially with the Fed raising rates. This is almost inevitable. We've been in an overpriced market for a few years now, and it's going to correct. Now, is this the popping of a bubble? I would say yes. Others are, this author would say it's just a correction. I would say it's a popping of the tech bubble 2.0. And he also thinks that there will be companies that buck the trend, the downward trend of revising the values of all these high-flying tech stocks or tech companies that many are still privately held. He thinks companies like Stripe, Airbnb, Uber, Slack, Clever, these type of companies will buck the trend and their valuations will hold up or go even higher in 2016. And I think that's true. There will always be some, but even the good companies and the companies that do have innovative ideas and innovative businesses, they will be hit as well. You know, rising tide lifts all boats, and you know, when the tide goes out, certain ones can handle it and stay afloat, but they all tend to, you know, drop because that tide is dropping. So don't think many companies will buck the trend. Number three, content marketing will continue to be king because of ad blocking. Ad blocking is becoming big. Apple is allowing ad blocking on their browser. You can install a plugin for your iPhone to block ads. And that's getting much, much bigger. So it's all about content. That is key. Number four, virtual reality and augmented reality will get even bigger in 2016. And that's because of the drop in hardware costs. It's going down and it will continue to become more and more affordable. And I do think that augmented reality, virtual reality will be huge 10 years from now. Who will be the leader? Will it be Facebook's, trying to remember the name of the company they bought, having a mental blank. They bought a virtual reality company. And will it be them? It's hard to know, but it very well could be. Number five, we're going to have election. Democrats and Republicans are going to fight it out. And we're going to have business as usual. We really are. Neither one's going to change anything. And I truly believe that. Even Trump, who, you know, says he's going to stir things up, he may, but he may not. You know, I think that's like a gamble. Is it a good gamble? That's for the voters to decide. But I don't think either Democrat or Republican is really going to change the way business is done here in the United States. Mainly because of Citizens United and the control that the corporations have on our Congress today. Number six, the Fed rate hike will have a major impact on the economy, and I believe that's true. I truly believe that is true. Money will be harder to get. It'll be harder for these companies to raise money, especially high risk tech companies to get money, and when that happens, young stocks, young companies tend to suffer. And number seven, automation will continue. Automation is going to affect every single industry. Over the next decade, millions of transport-related jobs will be replaced by self-driving cars. I firmly believe that. Is it 10 years from now? Is it 2 years from now? It's going to be hard to know, but it will happen at some point. Even in restaurants, service it will become more automated. Okay, so no industry will be safe from automation in 2016 and well beyond. That's a prediction. I think that's easily going to come true. Now, above average investing for the average investor. That's what we're all about here on Invest Talk, and we're here to help you avoid the mistakes that can cost you money. And in falling markets, better than average means suffering the least, trying to not to fall, trying to maintain your capital. And in a rising market, it means being at the top of the profit curve. Now, information and knowledge and perspective are keys to success. And ask your questions. Bring your comments to us. We want to hear from you. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us anytime.
This investment approach may be just right for you. It's called the Select Growth and Income Program. Handpicked mutual funds for flexibility, strength, and diversity. As with all our programs, one or more of KPP Financial's principals invest their money alongside their clients, which we call parallel investing. To find out more, click on the Investments tab on investtalk.com.
Hey, my name's Tom. I'm a podcast listener from New York. I want to take a long-term position, probably 10-plus years in water. I was looking at American Water Works, ticker AWK, and Aqua America, ticker WTR. I wanted to know your thoughts on water long-term, which company you think is a better investment, and a good price point to get in. Thanks, and I love the show.
I was looking at two water companies, Aqua America, WTR. They're a holding company providing water and wastewater utility services to about 3 million customers. And he's also looking at American Water Works. They provide water and wastewater utility services to 15 million customers in 47 states. So in Canada. And Aqua America is about a, $5 billion company, and what was the other one? AWK, that's what it was. The American Water Works is about $10 billion, so about twice the size. Now, which one is better? This one's a little tough. You know, they're trading about the same valuation on a multiple basis. Aqua America yields 2.3%. You know, to me, you're kind of splitting hairs here. Neither one is cheap. I think both are expensive. It's just hard for me to invest at these levels. It's just so expensive. Very little growth, high multiple, not a high dividend. I like where you're looking, but it's just a terrible time, to be frank. It's just not a good time to be invested in these names in the short to medium term. In the long term, I like your thinking, but I would wait a little bit longer. You've had a big surge. WTR went from 24 to 30, which is a huge move for a utility company, a water utility company. So relax, give it some time. There'll be a bear market and sometime in the next couple years, and then that's when you pick up these names, but not right now. But I like your thinking long term. Now let's get to Invest Talk Personal. It's we're going to talk about a 7-point year-end checklist. Now, nobody likes paying more taxes than they have to, but it's exactly what the average investor does. How? Well, they fail to implement strategies that can increase long-term after-tax returns. So here are 7 items to check off the list. Number 1, offsetting losses. Do you have capital losses that could be booked and used to offset future liabilities? If so, maybe time to sell. Number 2, tax loss harvesting. Selling your losers, booking your tax losses now can help you offset future tax liabilities and created when you sell an investment at a gain. So kind of what I talked about earlier in the show. Number 3, share identification. Individuals might have purchased securities at different times, and depending on the price, may have a gain in one or a loss in another. In situations like this, you can use a method called lot identification or versus purchase accounting. Meaning, say you bought, you own a position, you own 200 shares in a company, and you bought 100 shares at two different times. One you bought it at $15, another you bought at $25. Today it's at $20. Now, theoretically, you broke even, right? Because your average price is $20. Today it's at $20. You broke even. I can't do anything. I don't have tax loss selling to do. Actually, you do. You can identify, call your broker, say, I want to sell the 100 shares that I bought at $25. Meaning you're going to take that $5 loss. You're going to sell it now for 20. Your cost basis is 25 on that 100 shares. And now you have a loss, even though you've broken even. Now, when you go and sell the shares again, obviously you're now, your cost base, the rest of the 100 shares eventually, that cost basis is $15. But it will save you money today. So understand that you can do that. Just because your average price is X doesn't mean that needs to be your cost basis when you sell part of that position. Number four, I talked earlier about the wash rule. And if you sell a stock now to realize a loss, you need to wait 30 days before you can buy it back. And what I usually do, or I would do, is just buy a company similar to that. If you don't want to be out of the market or out of that sector. And then after 30 days, you can sell it and put it back in the original position. Okay. Number five, carry forwards. This is when you assess your gains and losses. Individuals should look at Schedule D of their tax return in order to determine whether they have any carry forwards that could offset any potential capital gain distribution or sales they might that might create a gain. So if you have losses from previous years, you can carry forward those losses if you have not taken them all. Number six, year-end capital gains distribution. This is big when it comes to mutual funds. One of the reasons why mutual funds are less tax efficient than ETFs is because when it comes to them, investors need to be careful when purchasing these funds at the near the end of the year, because a lot of times they have built up capital gains exposure, meaning they've created gains within their portfolio. You know, they have redemptions, they need to sell, and they sell positions that they've owned for a while, and that creates capital gains. Well, guess who pays it? You don't pay it right away. They must distribute that to the mutual fund shareholders. Whether or not you owned that mutual fund for a day or 10 plus years, you're going to have to pay that capital gains distribution. So be careful, and usually that happens at the end of the year. So you could be paying the capital gains on gains that you didn't even take, didn't even get, because you weren't owning the fund for that period of time. Okay, so understand that when you're investing in mutual funds. Number seven, finally, is selling appreciated assets. And you know, many retirees who are often pushed into higher tax brackets because of distributions from non-Roth retirement plans may now find themselves in a low tax bracket and possibly eligible for 0 or 5% tax rate on capital gains if they converted their pre-tax retirement assets to a Roth IRA in earlier years. Meaning, if your tax bracket is very, very low, it might behoove you to take a little bit of gains this year, and you will pay little or no capital gains tax. Okay, so always talk to your accountant about these strategies, but know that there are ways to get around tax, and you need to be thinking about that. You need to be proactive with your accountant, and that's why we always say it's good to have a personal accountant. Now, as we move into the final segment of the day, we welcome your questions about any money matters. An 888-99 chart is how to get through to me right now. Sign up to be InvestTalk Insider. Go to investtalk.com.
Hi, guys. I was calling in on a question regarding the stock Nike. Wanted to see what your opinion is for the next year and what would be a good entry point. Thank you.
All right, looking at Nike. Everyone knows who Nike is. I love Nike as a company. I wear their products. I play basketball very regularly, and it's always interesting to me looking at the feet of all the players I play with, all the guys I play with. I would say 90%, 95% wear Nikes. What's interesting is the younger crew a lot of times wears Under Armour. So that's kind of gaining on Nike a little bit, but I still love their products. Great brand, and I think they'll be great long term. Is it good today? It's expensive. And if we go into a bear market, you're going to feel the wrath of a cyclical stock. And it'll have cyclical behavior. In the last recession, it went down 40%. So to me, I wouldn't buy this until the mid to low 40s. That's where I would pick it up. And until then, you know, you could ride the trend. But long term, I think you're going to get a better entry point in the next 2 or 3 years. And that's probably 30% lower than it is today. Now, you can see more details about what I talked about earlier, our Invest Talk personal section about how to avoid some taxes here in the year end. And that's an article that's on investtalk.com that links to Investopedia. Now, let's talk a little bit about the late cycle behavior that we are seeing in the markets. While the S&P so far this year, it's about flat, maybe slightly down, earnings have deteriorated much, much more, and they're on track to be down about 5% this year because of the strong dollar, weak commodity prices, slowing emerging market growth, and recession-like conditions in several industrial areas of the economy. Now, there are some so that's what we're in today. That's what we've seen so far this year. And because earnings have fallen and the market hasn't, well, that pushes up valuations. Now, the Fed, well, there are some things that going into next year are going to continue to put pressure on the market. The Federal Reserve's first interest rate hike in a decade that happened last week, and likely there will be at least one more next year. Number two, lack of market breadth. It's very narrow. If you take out the top 10 stocks in the S&P for the year and you invest in the 490 other ones, you'd be down about 8% on the year. So the breadth of the market is not very good. Investors' willingness to pay almost any price for fast-growing but unprofitable story stocks. I think of Netflix. That's just one another example of, like, we're long in the tooth. When these type of companies get traction and everyone loves them, guess what? We're near the end. When M&A activity is at near record levels and share repurchase activity are near record levels, these are all signs of a market top. Companies like Netflix has a P of 345 is insane. They're going to make 26 cents a share next year. $117 stock price? Doesn't make sense. Incomputable. Okay? So we are experiencing classic late cycle behavior from the markets. Now, there are pockets of opportunity. Don't get me wrong. Now, most of this is in the energy sector, in the industrial sector. But you need to be careful. You need to be selective. If you're going to invest in the energy sector, it needs to be companies that have low-cost supply. So if oil prices stay low, they'll be able to stay profitable. And that have strong balance sheets. So if you're in the commodity space, look for those strong companies. If you like commodities, I would go with gold and fertilizer type companies because everybody still needs to eat. And there are some select industrial names that are doing well, but or that are attractive, but they are still few and far between in this market. It's time to close for the day. Our hour is up, and we hope you felt this hour was worth your while. And if you have a question or comment that you would want to be discussed on air, just shoot us directly. Shoot us an email. You can go directly to investtalk.com. I'm registered investment advisor Justin Klein, and for Steve Peasley and everyone at KPP Financial, we do thank you for listening, and let's get back together tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial.